If you could change one thing about your home, what would it be? A new kitchen, a new master bath, maybe put in a pool. What if you could do it with no money out of pocket and cheaper monthly payments? SaveWithConrad.com can help, and you can even skip your next two house payments. NMLS number 65084, Equal Housing Lender, SaveWithConrad.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the main event.
Welcome to WHW Monday. Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson.
Jim Crockett for Starcade, 605 NWA, TV title, Cajun Omni, the Bunkhouse Stampede, Flair and Horseman, Garvin, Bogey, Magnum, Dusty, Express Tag Team, Turner, Bawden, Mid-South, Joint World Championship Wrestling.
Talking about the great years of World Championship Wrestling, the NWA, and Jim Crockett Promotion.
Tony and First North, they win, look, Schiavone's back again, world title split off, center stage, Bischoff, Disney, Hogan, and Nitro, New World Order, and the Crow. Thunder Russo, Arquette Champ, Vinnie Mac, simulcast. Tony's back with Conrad, not your classy podcast. Watch along, try not to laugh, Lois rules, cat bat. This wasn't the initial plan, Tom's like a good-looking man. Klondike Bill, make a chair, Tommy, you come over here.
What happened,
Win? WHW Monday. And now, let's go to the ring. And here's your co-host, hey, it's Conrad Thompson.
Schiavone, anything. Huh. What is up, my man, Tony Schiavone?
Cassio, my good friend, first of all, show us your freaking earrings. Come on, baby.
Woo! Come on,
look at that. Huh?
Got some Billy Grahams in, baby.
I don't know, man. It's kind of inspired by Nick Jackson, if you ask me.
I can take that. We both got the same amount of hair on top, I think.
Yep. Hey, I'd just like to say it's great to see that Justin Davis is still alive. I wasn't sure about that for a long time. Okay. Unfortunately, I know that top guy heel Eddie is still alive. There you go. And Coach Rosie, what the hell is on your forehead? My God, guys.
Oh, okay. This is going to be awesome.
In honor of, I got to keep it 55th with you, Tony. You know, this whole C-Mac thing has really gotten to me. And instead of getting Hoover Killer put on my forehead, I got Bug put right on my forehead.
Yeah. A bug tattoo
on his forehead. On hood. And
on hood.
On hood. And by the way, just to warn everybody tonight that here's the bug. Boom. He's got his back to us, which means everything is okay. But he and Chewy got into something in the backyard, and they both got the shits. So if Bug turns around and starts looking at us, I've got to take him downstairs to take a shit. So then you can talk amongst yourself at that time. I would be back.
We'll warn you. Mm. We'll warn you if he turns his head.
Oh, I'll know. He'll go, burr, burr. He'll be barking at me and everything. So there you go.
By the way, ironically, if I do the same thing, guys, I've got to take a shit. I'll be back. Y'all can handle the queue.
Yeah. There may have been some questions about why Cassio and not Lauren as our host tonight. And I just decided that Cassio had the bigger boobs. So,
it's a close, but I got it. We measured.
Yeah, there you go.
I had to show him to Tony for 10 minutes. And
I've seen Cassio's boobs. Okay. So I know what they look like. So I went with that one. Okay.
You do. me and Tony seen a lot of each other. We have.
We were in the pool at Conrad Thompson's house a long time ago. It's probably my last trip to Conrad's, when it was like 80 degrees outside, maybe 85 degrees in Huntsville, Alabama. But in the infinity pool, the water was 28 degrees. So it was like, fuck, warm this fucker up. And then I saw Cassio's boobs and how erect the nipples got. And so I thought, you know, I'll just let him post this here. So, hey, I'm done. I'm done for the night. Good to see everybody. Got to take the bug out to shit. Okay.
Just going to be us the rest of the night. You come back when he's done and we'll wrap it up. Yeah. All right, let's get to everyone. Everyone's got questions, so we'll try to get to everybody. If I accidentally skip you, if we get close to the end, I haven't got to you, just send me a reminder in the chat box. Keep yourself muted. Y'all know the drill. Let's have some fun. Let's start with, is it Zoll or Zoel?
It's Zoll.
Zoll, what's up, brother?
Don't worry, I've been called a lot worse, so we okay. Good. Cassio, I think this is actually the first time that I've been on a chat where you've been hosting, so it's great to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you. I know it's the first one because I would have remembered Zoel.
First
Zoel. Oh,
let's go.
Okay.
All right. Tony, I first want to say it has been a very difficult 90 days for me.
I'm sorry.
Going through my second divorce. So what happened, Wind, has been very much a spirit lifter for me.
Well, that's great.
Listening to you and Conrad and feeling like I'm the third wheel, which I think I'm going to be for the rest of my life, which is okay.
Mm-hmm. I got you.
It's been very, you know, the humor has got me through that process because divorce is never fun. So I really appreciate what you and Conrad have done. It's brought a lot of joy to my life on that aspect.
Well, Zoll, thank you for saying that. I say this many times. I hear a lot of things from different people and obviously from different listeners. And obviously 98% of it is positive. 99% is positive. And especially here on ad-free shows and on my own channel, WHW Monday. Sometimes I think about what I do for a living and how I feel, or not really feel this way deep in my heart, that there's a lot of people out there who have more important jobs than I do. Doctors, first responders, people who work with, teachers. Okay. I mean, they have the important jobs. So I never really think my job is that important. But then I hear you say what you say, and then I realize that, you know, maybe we are important to a lot of people. And so I just want to let you know that what you just said means a lot to me. And I'm really sorry about your divorce. Lois and I were getting ready to be married 41 years, which is kind of like the World 600 NASCAR race. Just go round and round and round and round. You think the fucker will never stop. But anyway, that's, I appreciate you saying that, buddy. Where are you, where do you live, Zoll?
I'm from Alaska.
Oh, wow.
But I live in Southeast Kansas. So, okay. Kansas City Royals, let's go.
Yeah. All right.
But real quick, I got two quick questions. The first one, with Top Guy Weekend being announced, I'm asking this of all the ad-free shows hosts.
Yeah.
Top Guy Weekend coming up in Chicago in September.
Right.
For you, what are the rules of Tony Schiavone? Like, if we come up to you, whether it's Top Guy Weekend or perhaps a Comic-Con, like, as far as rules go, like, if someone was to approach you, like, what are you looking for as far as a healthy communication interaction?
First of all, you got to stand on your head and fart the Star Spangled Banner.
Okay. Working on that.
Start practicing, brother.
Okay. So, yeah. Start practicing. Okay. Last Top Guy Weekend, unfortunately, and those of you who were there, know that, last Top Guy Weekend, James L. Corey got me very drunk. And I was so drunk that Frank Bruno, don't shake your head. I'm going to be sober this time because I really haven't been drunk since that last time. But no, listen, just come up and approach me. Those of you who know me know I'm very, very approachable because I feel like I'm just like you guys. I'm a big time wrestling fan that just was fortunate enough to get on this side of the camera. So I think I'm very approachable. There's no rules. Please come up and say hello. Okay.
Okay. Second question real quick. Sure. What is the weirdest thing you have done with your eyes wide open?
Stand on my head and fart the Star Spangled Banner. the weirdest thing I ever done with my eyes wide open.
I think that was a silver reference.
Yeah. Tell the truth. Tell the truth.
Oh, get the have fuck you out.
A oh, there's Dave Silva.
Hell, Silva's here. Get out of here. Well, it hadn't been what Silva promised to do. I can tell you that. Okay. Okay.
You a lie.
Let's see. I took a shit in a moving car.
That worked.
You didn't close your eyes for that?
No.
That must have came out easy, brother.
Thank you so much for the time, Tony. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, brother.
By the way, the last text message I received from Dave Silva says, "Hey, Chico, thanks again for the tickets this past weekend. We all had a blast. Now all you got to do is blast my teeth out with that pee-pee. Dem's the rules." So what are we dealing with?
What are we dealing with? What is Dave Silva's wife dealing with? That's the freaking question.
A lot of teeth blasting.
Yeah, stop it.
Her eyes are closed.
Mm-hmm.
How's your Peter, mate?
It's been okay.
Well, can you describe it for us? Like, what I'm trying to do over here is a police sketch of your wiener. Can you just describe it to me?
No, I'm not going to describe my wiener to you.
Are you
out of your mind?
I'm going to paint you like I do those pretty French girls. I'm ready. Talk about the head. Is it bulbous? What are we doing?
No, it's.
Are there wrinkles?
Do you remember the movie? It was a horror movie called The Invisible Man.
Didn't watch it.
Okay. Anyway, The Invisible Man, you knew he was there. You just couldn't see him.
That's your gimmick right now.
There you go.
That's right. This episode and Tony's Wiener Meat are sponsored by Blue Chew. Guys, here's the thing. Serious business. Confidence can take you far in life. And that's really important when it comes time to put on a show. Mm-hmm. You need to feel confident. And so you need to make sure that you're where you need to be. And this is not for older fellows like Tony Schiavone. This is for guys our age who want to put on a 5-star performance. We're looking for 6 stars, baby. Mm. Well, Blue Chew can help. That's where Blue Chew comes in. Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as both Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable tablets and at a fraction of the cost. Now you can take these dudes anytime, day or night. So you can plan ahead. Or be ready whenever an opportunity arises, like maybe Rebel gives you the steal signal. I don't know. Now, the process is simple. You sign up at BlueChew.com. You consult with one of their licensed medical providers. And once you're approved, Tony, you'll receive your prescription within days. And here's the best part. It's all done online. So no visits to the doctor's office, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And Blue Chew's tablets are made right here in the USA. That's right. The old red, white, and Blue Chew. It's prepared and shipped directly to your door, all in a discreet package, but there won't be anything discreet about your package. No more invisible man, Tony. You're going to be strutting that ass all around town with a super hard dong.
So you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform. Blue Chew can help. We've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew for free. When you use the promo code WHW at checkout, just pay the $5 shipping. That's bluechew.com, promo code WHW to receive your first month free. Visit bluechew.com for more details and important safety information. And as always, we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast. And as always, we come to you from the Blue Chew studios.
America starts the day with America in the Morning.
First of three pushes of storminess.
Hi, I'm John Trout, your host for the latest news, politics, entertainment, business, and weather.
A speech with political overtones.
Our staff of correspondents provide a fast-paced look at the world with specialized reports from where news happens.
Judge's decision was based on finding there is a likelihood.
So far, the central bank appears to be threading that.
Concise, accurate, and fresh each day.
America in the Morning, the podcast, available wherever you listen.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Hey, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
All right, let's get another question in. Let's go to my man, Art. Where are you at, brother?
Hey, sorry. First of all, thank you, Tony. Thanks for being here, as always.
Thanks, Art. I appreciate you, buddy.
You coming to C2E2 this year or too close to Top Guy Weekend?
I don't know yet. I'm probably going to come to it. I really enjoy those. I enjoy, obviously I enjoy making money, but I also enjoy meeting people. And I love Comic Cons. A lot of the stuff that you see behind me here was purchased in Comic Cons. And I've got, I don't know if this will do it any justice or not, but I've got over here a Batman collection. You see right there, I've got like three things of Batman. And I've got some prints that Neil Adams, one of the great Batman illustrators, have signed for the Batcave. So I like Comic Cons for two reasons. Again, I like being able to sell my wares, meeting fans, and I just like being there. I think they're cool. Although C2E2 last year was a little bit pared down, and I guess you were there, Art. It was pared down because I guess none of the big ones like Marvel or DC even put up a booth. So
I actually was not. I was there a couple of years ago, and I actually mentioned to you, I worked customer service at the time and got a chat from Tommy Young.
Oh, wow.
So, but my real question is, I just lost it. Wow.
Okay. That's all right. Hey, I don't know how old you are, but I lose shit all the time.
About to be 35.
Brain. Oh, wow. Wait 30 years. You want to know who your fucking name is.
Oh, here's my question.
Okay.
What'd you think of the whole Angel Hernandez debacle the other night?
I know you're talking about an umpire. I'm really not keeping up with the baseball at all. Not at all. So I don't know what happened.
He had 19 blown calls and Kyle Schwarber went off on him.
Yeah.
In the ninth inning.
Well, let me say this, Art, here's what's going to happen. And it's going to happen sooner or later, buddy. You're going to see automated umpires. You're going to see every play at first base be videotaped. Games are going to be 4 hours long, or it's going to be video reviewed. You're going to have the automated umpire. That's exactly what TV wants. And so, you know, baseball can have itself and implode on itself. All I give a shit.
Thank you. I appreciate your takes on baseball.
All right. Thanks, buddy. I wish I was still the baseball fan, but I don't give a shit about it anymore. I give a shit about vintage stuff. I give a shit about collecting cards from the 60s and pictures. And I've got I've got downstairs a baseball room, but it's full of vintage memorabilia. It's not full of any current shit, you know? So they can have the fucking game. Hey, baseball can go fuck itself. So there you go.
There we go. I was waiting on the punctuation.
Thank you.
Let's go to our next question with the man with the only tattoo as big as Cody's, Josh Rosenbaum. Coach, what's up, brother?
What's up? What's up? Good to see everybody.
Hey, Coach.
Tony, what's up? I got a couple questions about, first of all, I want to ask about Serena Deeb.
Yeah.
I didn't catch how she got that big goose egg on her eyeball. Yeah. Right. And how is she doing today? Because damn, when at the end of the match, when you looked at her face, she was fighting off tears. She was tough as nails. What was that all about?
Well, she's a tough girl, and she actually got hurt. And I don't know if you've seen the what she put on social media today or not. What happened was when they did this spot where Sheeta got the powder in her face and was swinging wildly with the kendo stick. She kind of ducked, but the edge of the kendo stick caught her in the face, and that's what hit it. And it was like a goose egg, almost like a baseball. I remember I grabbed her and I hugged her because she and I are really good friends. She's just a wonderful young lady, and I grabbed her and hugged her. I said, "You do know this is a work, don't you?" She said, "Oh no, it was the kendo stick. It caught me when I tried to duck out of the way." So, she was hurt, but she's tough. She's going to be okay. She really is. Okay. It's going to take a little while for that to heal, though. You know.
Right. Yeah. Right. That was a heck of a match.
Yeah.
And then the other one. This is no criticism. I need to know the theory behind it because you've been in the back and heard plenty of booking meetings. What is the theory behind, and I'm not talking that you know the background behind AEW, but why are they flipping the TNT championship so much? Like 2 weeks Sammy, 2 weeks Scorpio,
yeah,
and not having that long sustained drive. I thought when Scorpio won it the first time, we were going to have him for a significant amount of time.
Yeah. You know, that is a great question, Coach. I don't know the thought behind that. The only thing I can tell you is that it's all in the mind of Tony Khan, and he comes up with all this stuff, and I can't explain it. I do work a lot closer with him now than ever before, so I'm privy to what he wants and his direction going forward. Why? A lot of times I just just don't give a shit. I say, okay, yeah, it's fine. And he doesn't ask my opinion. Some things he does, but very rarely does he. I don't know what that's about. Here's my thought about this, and maybe I'm wrong. And listen, I have nothing to base this on. There's nothing that I know inside behind this, but Sammy has turned himself into a heel. I mean, he's almost become like what Cody Rhodes was before he left, right? Trying to be a babyface, and all of a sudden the fans turn against him and boo him. And that a lot of that has been because of what he and Ty have done on social media, you know. And now they're just embracing the heel persona. And maybe Tony wanted a babyface run with the belt and realized Tony wasn't the babyface to run with the belt. And maybe Sky is going to be the babyface to run with it. Listen, I personally, I would give it to Sky and let him keep it forever.
I agree.
Because he gives you great matches. He looks good. I love that promo where he snaps his fingers and it goes to black. It's so freaking cool. And if I were booking, I would say, all right, Sky, you got the belt. We're going to keep it on you. So that's the only thing I think, that maybe that they wanted a baby face or Tony wants a baby face to run with it. And Sammy's just not the baby face right now to run with it, because he'd as soon stick his tongue down Ty's throat as he would wrestle. Seemingly.
Yeah. Yep. Hey, and the next time you're with Tony, on behalf of the 35 guys that go to Rebels Happy Hour every other Sunday, we'd like to see her a little bit more on TV. We miss her. We miss her. And I think the Sad News Bears miss her seeing her on TV. Spread the word for us, Tony. We love her.
I will. And I appreciate that. I know that, you know, Rebel and I are friends, although we haven't really talked that much lately because of my work backstage. It's kind of consumed me. But I get it. And someone said to me, there's a lot of people online who want to see more of Rebel. And who was it that said that to me backstage? And I said, yeah, I know those fuckers. I know who they are. Yeah. I know one of them's top guy, heel Eddie. And I told Rebel the other day, I said, Rebel, there's a guy named top guy heel Eddie who has a boner every time we say your name. Anyway.
Has Rebel ever told you about Marty? Has Rebel ever told you about Marty in these weekends? Ask her about Marty next time.
Okay, I will.
Thank you.
Thanks, buddy.
Yep.
I slept better than ever thanks to Chili Sleep. I'm not exaggerating. I went to bed last night at 10 o'clock. I woke up at 6:45. Tony, how many hours of sleep does that mean I got?
Start that again.
I went to bed at 10.
10.
Got up at 6:45.
So that means you got 8 hours and 45 minutes of sleep.
I got it 2 or 3 nights in a row. I give all the credit to Chili Sleep. I fall asleep. I stay asleep. It gives me the energy to power through my day. Imagine waking up and not feeling tired. That's my life right now. And I have bright, vivid, colorful dreams. Some of them lead me to doing silly ideas like putting together Jim Crockett promotions one last time. But hey, Chili Sleep is to get the credit for all of this. And science tells us the best way to achieve and maintain consistent deep sleep is by lowering our core body temperature. Well, temperature controlled sleep is going to repair your muscles after a hard day's work. It's going to improve your cognitive function to strengthen your athletic readiness. Let me explain. Chili Sleep makes customizable climate controlled sleep solutions that help you improve your entire well-being. Seriously, if you take a look at any of the memes or any of the stuff you see online, Like, hey, here's a list of ways to improve your health. It always says basically the same stuff, right? Drink more water, yada, yada, yada. Well, the number one thing is always get more sleep, get better sleep. Well, these water-based temperature-controlled mattress toppers fit over your existing mattress to help provide you your ideal sleep temperature. It's like a smart thermostat for your bed. Now, their cooling technology leverages water's amazing thermal powers for deep, restorative sleep. They're designed to help you fall asleep, stay asleep, and give you the confidence and energy to power through your day. So head on over to chillysleep.com/WHW to learn more and save 30% off the purchase of any new Cube or Uller sleep system. Now, this offer is available especially for What Happened When listeners and only for a limited time. That's Chili, C-H-I-L-I, sleep.com/WHW to take advantage of our exclusive discount and wake up feeling refreshed every day.
Mike McClanahan, let's get you in, brother.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, Cassio. Great to talk to you again. And Tony, great to talk to you as always. Thank you so much for your time. My question this evening, on a previous one of these, I talked to you a little bit about your work with Coliseum Video, and I wanted to kind of elaborate on that because I think it's a part of your career that we don't talk about it as much as we should. Can you talk a little bit about what maybe went into producing some of those tapes that some of us casual fans wouldn't know? And maybe more specifically, what's something that was really kind of a challenge that we might look at as being deceptively simple with producing, say, in that era would have been a videotape?
You know, I appreciate that question, Mike. I really do, because that was, I look back on that era or that year, and it was one of my, it's still one of my fondest memories of wrestling, because all of a sudden I became a producer, and they brought me in. They wanted me to produce the video cassettes and obviously be an announcer. And I really loved producing, and I didn't realize how much I loved it until I started doing Coliseum videos. We would sit down with Bruce Pritchard, who was my boss at that time. Kevin Dunn really didn't have a say so in this, or maybe didn't want to have a say so in this. But the hierarchy of the WWE was much different in '89 as it is now. And they would decide, well, we haven't done a video on this guy, and we need to do a video on this guy. And of course, we also had videos on all the pay-per-views, which back then were four pay-per-views, our main four pay-per-views. And then we had what we called rack jobs, which were these tapes that were shorter in length and were a cheaper premium price. And they were called like the best of WrestleMania or the best of Hulkamania or something like that. And the first one I had to do was Hacksaw Jim Duggan. And I remember I had to come up with the entire idea. And I came up with the entire idea, and I would get into edit suites with a editor, and we would just create things. We would create videos, and we would create, we didn't have all the things at our disposal that we have now, all the bells and whistles, but whatever, what we did have, we made the best of it. And we would spend a long time putting those things together. And I remember when we took it into the Coliseum Video people who had their office in New York City, and they watched a screener of it, and they got back in touch with me. They said, this is one of the best videos that we have seen because it's apparent that you've put a lot of time into this. And I said, yeah, I have, and I really enjoy what I'm doing. I was able to go and do whatever I wanted to do. I flew out to San Diego one time just by myself to do a site survey on an idea I had about Jimmy Snuka. And I also flew out to Tucson, Arizona, to do a site survey on a thing I was going to do with the Bushwhackers. So I had kind of an unlimited budget back then, and I could do whatever I wanted to do. And we really had a good time, had great staffs. What people don't realize, though, is that when we had a pay-per-view, like a WrestleMania or SummerSlam or something, I had to get that tape out the next day. And you couldn't just roll in the WrestleMania. You had to concise it down to what the maximum videotape was. Let's say the WrestleMania went 3 hours and the videotape was 2 hours and 45 minutes. That was the max. I had to cut 15 minutes out of that. So I had to literally go back and overnight and work on the video or work on that. And I would put exclusive interviews in it. So you would tune into the WrestleMania video cassette that I produced. And the interview that you saw in WrestleMania was replaced by the same person, but an exclusive interview that you only saw on the videotape. And my fondest memory, which is a really a kind of a cool story, WrestleMania 5, we were in Atlantic City, and I had to get the video cassette out the next morning, and I had to get it in the hands of Coliseum Video the next morning. So I was going to fly on a private plane out of WrestleMania at the Atlantic City Airport with Bruce Prichard, Kevin Dunn, and Dick Ebersol, who was in, you know, who worked with Saturday Night's Main Event at that time. And we got in a limousine and we drove to the airport. The plane was not there. We waited, the plane was not there. And the limousine driver says, "Well, I have to take you back to Atlantic City." And Dick Ebersol said, "You're not taking us back to Atlantic City. You're taking us to Connecticut." And he and the limousine driver got into a heated argument. And we drove the 3 hours to Stamford. I stayed up all night. The tux that you saw me when I did the interviews in WrestleMania 5, if you watch that that pay-per-view, the tux and the makeup stayed on me until like noon the next day. Because I didn't even have a chance to shower, or I just went right into the edit suite and edited the thing the entire night in my tux. I think about that fondly. I really do. I think about that. So I don't think fans realize the quick turnaround we had to do back then. But it was a challenge that I really enjoyed.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time and for your great answering my questions. Thanks again, Cassio, for getting me on.
No problem, brother. Real quickly, since you are the dogs, Tony Schiavone, Trayvon Walker ended up going number one to the Jags.
How about that, buddy?
Did you talk the cons into taking him?
No, I felt stupid. Okay, here's why I felt real stupid. Because Tony, I was with Tony Conte the other night. He said, "What about Trayvon Walker, buddy?" And I went, "Yeah." And he was real disappointed that I just said, "Yeah."
No.
Because, again, I told Tony, I said, "I'm not following them anymore." I said, I worked for them. The last season I worked for them was 2020. And had I waited one more season, I would have gotten a championship ring because the radio crew got one. That's bullshit. I don't give a shit about that. But anyway, so, yeah. And I guess I should have said, "Oh, yeah, Trayvon Walker, yeah, I don't know many tackles or whatever." Okay. And Tony the other night had all of his draft charts out in front of him in his room, and we were talking over some things and had all the draft charts out. So there you go. So, yeah, there's going to be a lot of dogs drafted in the first round, I believe.
A lot of them. Speaking of dogs, let's go to the top heel, Eddie Frazier. Your favorite.
What's up, Cassio? Hey, Tony. First of all, I think that was a pretty good pick by the Jags. I think Trayvon Walker might have the most upside of the defensive ends that they were looking at.
Uh-huh.
Hey, my question tonight for you, Tony, is I've been watching a lot of Arn Anderson's. He just been gone through like the Barry Windham heel turn. I think Crockett might have made a mistake by not making Barry the number one baby face for Crockett after Magnum's accident. Barry, there was no better in-ring worker to me in 86, 87, 88 than Barry Windham. Do you think Barry should have been the number one baby face like I do?
Yeah, that's a good point, Eddie. I think what hurt Barry was Barry just needed a better promo. I think that hurt him. I think I said this many times, you go back and take a look at all the big stars, like Dusty and Magnum back then. And, obviously, Ric Flair, Arn Anderson, those guys could talk. Barry was okay.
Yeah, but it wasn't great. But out of the baby faces during that time, Barry's promo skills were a lot better than Ronnie Garvin's or Nikita Koloff's. And
right.
I think if Ricky Morton was a little bigger, do you think, because Ricky Morton definitely had the promo skills, if Ricky was a little bigger, do you think he would maybe been pushed as the number one baby face?
No, I don't think so. Uh-uh. I think Ricky was a tag team wrestler, you know?
Yeah.
You're right. He had some good skills.
Yeah. Thanks for answering my question, Tony.
No problem, Eddie. Go fuck yourself, buddy.
If someone relies on you financially, your spouse, your child, anyone, life insurance gives you the peace of mind that they'll have a financial cushion if something ever happens to you. By making it easy to compare your options from top companies, Goliath Life helps make sure you're not paying a penny more than you have to for the life insurance coverage you need to protect those you love. At GoliathLife.com, you can compare personalized quotes from top companies to find your lowest price. The process is fast and easy with no hidden fees, upsells, or hassles. Goliath Life is your one-stop shop to find the life insurance you need at the right price. Head to GoliathLife.com to get your free life insurance quotes and see how much you can save. That's GoliathLife.com.
Hey, so, listen, do you think we ought to, somebody should call Keith Morrison's house and make sure he's okay? Keith, you there? You with us, bud?
This is obviously the most riveting Q&A
apparently
we've ever had on ad free shows.
Wow.
We have a man dead.
We're going to feel bad if he really was, okay?
All right, let's go to Keith Morrison. He's gone.
All right, there you go.
All right, well,
hey, so listen, also, I have another question. Jacob Beardsley, are we sure this is not? That's Vince Russo. That's Vince Russo. Okay. All right. Vinny, you and I were always buddies, man. Okay. I've never shit on you when other people have, man. All right, I'm sorry, Cassio. Go ahead.
No doubt. Let's go to RJ, the ringside rant.
What's up, Cassio?
What's up, brother?
Tony, it's always a pleasure to see you. Thanks for taking time out of your busy, busy schedule, I'm sure.
Thanks, RJ. I hope anything I say is not headlines for you.
No.
Okay,
no,
good.
Course not. Everything goes in one ear out the other, just like Cassio.
Thank you, buddy.
Recently, you said that you're starting collecting the baseball cards.
Yeah.
You got the whole, I believe it was at 62.
I've got the entire the top 69 and the entire top 65,
okay,
which were the ones I collected, oddly enough, when I was younger. I've got a lot of 66s, and I'm working on 1960 for some reason right now, but I'm not so sure I want to pay out $1,500 for a Mickey Mantle. Mantle in poor condition. So
I was thinking about starting up collecting baseball cards again. I got out of it. Just didn't have the time and finances and whatnot. But what is a year that you would suggest that I go after? Would it be like 70s, 80s, 90s?
87 tops. They're very rare.
Yeah. Okay.
They are?
No, I'm just kidding.
So I was saying
one million.
I was going to say that I've got that whole set. Wow. I was going to go, man, I'll sell that. And then you guys can fuck off. You won't see me again. Okay. By the way, just to let you know, RJ, if I disappear off TV, one of two things, I'm dead or I've won the lottery. Okay.
And it's Cassio's fault.
Yeah. So it's like Ron White, the comedian, once said, said, if I ever win the lottery, there's a whole lot of people I'm going to tell kiss my ass. let me ask you this. Did you grow up a baseball fan?
Yeah, I grew up a Yankee fan.
Good. What are your years of being your years as a kid in fandom?
I started probably about mid-90s. Okay. I still have, I collected, my great uncle sent me yearbooks for the Mets and the Yankees from about 86 to about 96. So okay. I have those, but.
Right. Here's what I'm saying. And here's why collecting, I think, is so important, especially when baseball cards are concerned. It's because they mean something to you. The 1969 year meant something to me because it was the first year I really started watching baseball as a youngster. 65 meant something to me because I remember having those cards as I was a kid. So the emotion of collecting those cards and remembering your childhood was why I collected those two sets. And now the other ones, I'm just kind of filling in the gaps, you know, just because I just kind of a hobby, you know. Mm. But I can show you this. I've got, what do I have? Yeah. This is my 1965 collection of tops that I just finished, and I've got every one, and it's these, you probably can't see it, but the team name was on a pennant, and I remember those as a childhood, as a child, and I've now collected the entire set. So maybe I'll look at it maybe once a year or something like that, but I know that I got it. And I can go back and say, you know, I remember that card. Why 69 is important to me is that was the first baseball card pack I ever remember opening. I opened a pack of tops with had the gum in it, and the first card I looked at was Rick Monday Oakland A's 1969 card. I became a big Oakland A's fan because of that. And I was an Oakland A's fan all through the 70s. And then Reggie became my favorite player, was traded to Baltimore in 76, and then he went to the Yankees in 77. So I became a Yankees fan because of that, because of Reggie. But what I'm saying is, I know it's a long, I sound like Lois Schiavone giving you a long-term answer for a yes or no question. But those cards have an emotional meaning for me. And so that's what I would say the most fun you would have would be collecting cards that bring you back to your childhood. If you're looking for money to make money off of them, then you're really going to get deep in the weeds and shell out a lot of money. Right. These cards just mean to bring me back to my childhood, you know, and that's kind of what, what my career has kind of been about as of late, bringing people back to their childhood, and nostalgia means a lot to all of us. And my God, I'm living proof that nostalgia is strong with people. So that's what I would say to collect. Now, in the 90s, starting in 89, you know, Upper Deck's first series was 1989. And Upper Deck got into the game and then completely fucked the game over because they flooded the market with cards. And so the Upper Deck series, all those didn't mean as much as the old Topps Vintage. So if you wanted to me, the cooler cards are all the way up until 1990. 60 to 1990 are the cooler right. cards. So,
all right. Awesome. Thanks, Tony. I look forward to seeing you Top Guy weekend.
Thanks, RJ. Good talking to you, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Thank you.
Let's go next to the man who originally did the Keith Morrison pose at Top Guy weekend, Mr. Pondwater Dave.
Dave still doesn't know how to operate his microphone.
I thought he was going to unmute me. How you doing, Tony?
Hey, Dave, what's going on, brother?
Hey, what flavor is that?
That is the only flavor. That's the only flavor. It's good. It's called Ultra Fiesta Mango.
Oh, that one's okay. Oh. I like the rosé, and they've discontinued it. Go figure. Yeah, well,
there you go. See, because that wasn't worth a shit. That's why they discontinued. Okay.
Well, I was going to ask. I wasn't going to back off my question, even though you said fuck baseball.
Okay.
Are you in the loop on the Savannah Bananas?
Yes. I've read some things about them. I know that they do a lot of cool things. I know if a fan catches a fly ball, it's an out, which I think is pretty cool. They're kind of like the Globetrotters of baseball.
That's how I described them to Steph.
Yeah. Right. So yeah, it's a very novel. And you know, it's probably bringing fun back to the game again. You know, I've been following what is going on in the Bay Area with Oakland and trying to get a new stadium, and hopefully the A's do not go to Las Vegas. My God. And the battles that's going on, I guess, between the owner of the A's and the San Francisco media and all that bullshit. And I just, and then there's talk, you know, you look in the stands and the baseball ratings are down from what I understand. And the ticket sales are down. And I guess Major League Baseball says, well, we got to do something. Well, I think one of the reasons the baseball is the way it is because they fuck with it too much. That being said, the Savannah Bananas have done it right, right?
Oh, I love it. I think it's a lot of fun, and I don't know how the bait. That's why I was asking. I knew you're kind of traditional, and I didn't know it was too much. But
yeah, well, you know what? They are an independent team, right? They're not affiliated with any major league team.
I checked into their tickets. It looked like they're just touring a few cities.
Yeah, they're an independent team, which means you don't have to be signed by a major league team to be a part of the team. And listen, the only thing you have to do is look in the minor leagues and see how much Major League Baseball has fucked up the minors. Major League Baseball is an organization that fucks up everything it touches. Okay. And I'm saying that, and I know that I'll never get into Major League Baseball by saying this, which was my goal at one time, but they have fucked up everything they've touched. And it's because they're letting TV run their product. When you do that, then you're fucked.
It's not like it was. I was listening to what you said about your cards with 65 and 69.
Yeah.
Steph has a bunch of baseball cards, and we got them out and went through them. And when we hit the early 80s Texas Rangers, you know, that was my fandom with Charlie Huff and Scott Fletcher and Steve Buchel and Jim Sundberg.
Yeah.
Pete Incaviglia. It really took me back.
One of my more expensive cards that I bought from, and I can't remember how much the price was, from the 69 collection was Nolan Ryan's rookie card with the Mets.
Woo.
Yeah. So
you see the trailer for his documentary?
I have not. No.
I'll actually go to the movies. Fathom Events is going to have a screening in it. If it's here in Jackson, I'm going to go.
Cool. That's good.
I love Nolan. Saw his 5,000th strikeout.
There you go, buddy.
Well, it's good to talk to you, Tony.
Same here, Dave.
Tell Tony Khan that we got a nice Coliseum in Jackson that would be perfect for television.
Okay, I will. And Keith Morrison's still asleep.
Okay. Pronounced dead at 7:35 Central Time. Let's get, where's our El Corey at? Where you at, brother?
I'm right here, Cassio. Thank you for getting me on, brother. You know. Appreciate it. Good to see you again. You know, with the shirt on this time, always a plus. Mr. Shivani, it's an honor to talk to you. You know, I've been a fan for a long time.
Well, thank you, Mr. Elkery.
It's Elkery. You know.
Oh,
that.
Sorry, I didn't. I forgot about that.
How you doing, Tony?
Good.
Good. Well, I was. My quick question is, I was just watching an old Jake the Snake match, and with his new podcast and all that stuff. The way he's changed his life and everything. Is there any good, new age Jake the Snake stories you can share with us, like behind the scenes?
The only thing I can tell you is that he is much more, much friendlier and jovial than he used to be. And of course, I work with him like in the WWE in 89 and then the early years of WCW. Mm-hmm. He was always to himself. Back then, he was gruff. He didn't have really much to say, didn't smile a lot. He's changed his life around, you know, health-wise. And he's also changed his life around as far as being a person. He is so much fun to be around. And some of the most fun I have is backstage in the coach's room. I don't get to spend as much time in there as I used to, James. But in the coach's rooms, a lot of time, there'll be Billy Gunn, Arn Anderson, Jake the Snake Roberts, Jerry Lynn and Dean Malenko. Mm-hmm. And you're talking about fun, just listening to them talk and listening to them rip on each other. And Jake rips on everybody. He's got a line for everybody. I can just, only thing I can tell you about Jake behind the scenes is he is really, really a great guy to hang out with now. And everybody loves him backstage. And you probably couldn't say that about Jake the Snake back during his career. And I'm sure drugs and alcohol played into that as well, you know. But
yeah,
the Jake the Snake now is pretty freaking cool.
That's awesome, man. It's good to see a little, you know, like kind of turn in life and everything like that. So, right. You know,
yeah.
Well, I appreciate you taking the time. Hopefully I get to interact with you again soon. I mean, you know, this is my first time talking to you, so I really appreciate you taking the time for me tonight.
Yeah. Same here, James Elkery. And also I just want to let you know that there's a lesson in all this, that when you don't drink too much, okay, you're a pretty good guy.
I'll be damned. Hey, I'm drinking a Code Red Mountain Dew right now.
That's what I'm talking about.
You know, I'm coming around, Tony. Okay. I'm coming around.
There you go, buddy. That's it.
Appreciate it, man.
I am not going to get drunk during Top Guy weekend.
Well, hey, you know, we still got a couple months away from that. You know,
stop it, James.
Never say never. Okay. Isn't that what they say in the wrestling business?
Okay. Mute his Florida Gator ass right now. Go ahead.
Appreciate it.
All right, bye. Oh, by the way, the Dallas Cowboys suck.
See, now that was unfair. Yeah, okay. But
you know, parting shot.
Ouch. All love, Tony.
Woo.
All right, let's go to the one and only, some calling the clown, Mr. Sean Jones.
How you doing, Cassio?
Good to see you, brother.
Been a minute.
Yeah, man.
Tony fucking Schiavone.
Well, you know what? Just like Sean Jones to fucking show up and talk to me once a fucking year.
How you doing, buddy?
Good, buddy. How you doing?
I am outstanding.
Well, okay.
No, seriously.
Okay, great. Got a
promotion at work. I got a big raise. Life's good right now.
Yeah.
You didn't sleep through Tony's Q&A like Keith, so you're great, dude.
Yeah, man, Keith.
But I did have one question.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
When's AEW coming to India?
Well, I have no idea, but that is still a running joke backstage. I mean, Sean is talking about that back then, before we had Rampage, I used to do the post game show on the AEW YouTube channel. And we had questions all the time. When is AEW coming to India? And it was like, you know.
And of course, it was during COVID.
Right, right.
But during the pandemic, when are you guys going to come halfway around the world to? Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, and I want to be, I'm nice to people, but in the back of my mind and trying to be nice to people online, I'm saying, shut the fuck up. Okay. I think we got a TV show in India now. I think so. So who knows? I don't know. You guys may know because I don't read a lot about COVID, but I don't know if COVID is ravaging the country like it did at one time or not, but it was pretty bad at one time. Another reason to live in Marietta, Georgia. Ooh. By the way, for those of you keeping count, it is 8:47 Eastern time and Keith Morrison's still asleep, as you can see. Okay.
All right, buddy. Well, I can't wait to see you in Chicago.
Thanks, Sean. I can't wait to see you too, buddy. Thanks for finally showing up to something I do, fucker.
Well, I work late on Tuesdays, and most of these things happen on Tuesdays. So
yeah, okay. Well, that's a pretty good bullshit answer. I appreciate that. All right.
It's what happens when you live on the West Coast.
Okay, so just for those of you who are with us on WHW Monday, we do now watch-alongs every Friday night at 10 o'clock Eastern of Rampage. It's actually turned into the Top Guy Heel Eddie show, but we still do a watch-along Rampage. I just got to mute Eddie like every 5 minutes.
Yeah, by the time I get out on Fridays, Rampage is already over.
Yeah, right. So we do that on Fridays, and that is on the recorded Rampages only. We don't do that on the live ones, obviously, because live ones
are kind of difficult.
Yeah. Thanks, Sean. Good seeing you, buddy.
Will that be one tomorrow or is that next?
Yes, there'll be one tomorrow.
All right, brother. Let's get another. Where's my man, Justin Davis, at? He's always got good party favors.
I am right here, Mr. Cassio. It's good to see your beautiful face again, brother.
Good to see you, buddy.
Hey, Zoll, there are rules. He's an unapproachable prick. I've met him about 5 times. You don't worry about that.
Well, you know what? A Pittsburgh Pirate fan and a Pittsburgh Steeler fan, like I know that you are, you cocksucker. Coming from it doesn't mean fuck all. How's that?
Well, now, Tony, I don't want to admit to being a Cincinnati Reds fan. So.
Oh, really? How'd that Super Bowl work out for you?
Hey, shut the fuck up.
Okay, there you go.
I just have. Here, Ellie, here. I want to show you. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Justin, are you drunk? Are you walking around the house drunk? Tripping over shit? Okay.
My dog, she's running away.
Oh, wow.
Me. I got a new baby here. Ellie.
What's her name?
Ellie.
Ellie. Hey, Ellie. Look, Ellie looking around like, what the fuck's going on?
Yeah. So I've now got Owen and Ellie. I've named both my French bulldogs after heart children.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. I want you to name your next dog Teddy Hart and just keep him in a cage.
Okay. that's probably okay. a good good recommendation.
Right. Straight up, Teddy.
First of all, how is Lois doing?
Lois is fine. She just, I don't know if you heard our podcast. She just celebrated number 70, birthday number 70, which is year number 41 of my hell. She has lost a lot of weight. She has. She's lost a lot of weight. She's looking good. She's still having trouble with her knees. She's having trouble bending her knees, which means that blowjobs are out of the question.
Well, if she's lost a bunch of weight, those boobies are still big, right?
Oh yeah, they're still just sitting right on her knees. But yeah, thanks for asking for it. She's actually doing really, really well. Both of our dogs got into something in the backyard, and they were sick. We had to take them to the vet today. And
yeah, I heard
so
you
that's,
say that.
Yeah,
bugs so doing that, okay.
Yeah, it just turns our house upside down when the dogs are sick.
Yeah.
But other than that, she's doing great, and she's actually thinking about joining me on the road now for some shows.
Whoa.
Holy shit!
And I'll tell you
that's
guys
breaking news.
I'll tell you guys the same thing that I say about this, and this is a truth. When I'm traveling on the road by myself, there is probably a 1 in 5 million chance that I'm going to get laid. If I bring Lois on the road, there's a 0 chance I'm getting laid.
Okay. So my question for you, my friend,
okay, right.
You took a, now you've, I think created a new t-shirt tonight. Take a shit in a moving car, you motherfucker. you took a shit in a moving car.
Yeah.
You shit on your bedroom floor.
Yeah.
I'm starting to think that you are the one that snuck over to Cassio's house, or not Cassio, but Conrad's, and mm-hmm. shit in his bathroom.
No, boom. Because, yeah. What do you,
is there truth to this theory?
No, there's no
I
truth.
I just want heat off of me. Silva's fine, or now you're fine.
Okay. No.
Well, I don't know.
I may have shit, look, at my old age, shitting in your pants is a common occurrence. That's why I always pack extra pair of underwear. Okay. You laugh now. Wait till you get my age, JD, motherfucker.
Listen, okay. Bro, I'm not saying I've never done it.
Okay, then. But I can tell you this, that even though that I have shit my pants before, I have never missed the toilet like Cassio.
Well, let me do a follow up to this. Real
you
fast.
Know that was Silva.
Okay.
Silva's legs are so short, he can't even touch the ground when he's on the toilet. So who knows? Oh, I also wanted to say hello, Shuli Agar. I'm a 20-year listener to the Howard Stern Show, and it's really cool to have you on.
Yeah, the big Shuli is with us, man. How about that?
But Tony, a follow up question. You shit in a car, you shit in your bedroom. Uh-huh. Is there anywhere else that you have shit inappropriately?
Well, I was,
I go with the burning questions that's on the minds of everyone.
Do you shit anywhere inappropriate? Like it would be appropriate to shit in a bunch of places.
I remember I was working in the radio station one time, and I did for WSB radio, which, by the way, WSB radio, like the former promoter Jim Barnett, who maybe you guys have heard of. WSB radio and Jim Barnett could both die in fucking hell with Satan's dick up their ass. So anyway, so I was working doing mornings for WSB radio, and I had terrible gas that morning, and I had to be at WSB radio at I had to be there like at 4 a.m. So I got up at like at 3:15, terrible gas. And I'm in the back in one of the production rooms, because we had to do either read spots or something. And I kept smelling shit. And I'm thinking, what, did I step in dog shit? You know? No, I had shit my pants and I didn't realize it. Okay. So there I'm sitting.
How do you not realize it? You got to feel that a little bit.
Once again, you're going to be my age, JD. So shut the fuck up. Let me, this is anecdote. Okay. All right. I do what any normal guy did. I just dropped my pants, took my underwear, okay, washed them out, threw my underwear away, went on and did like Dusty Rhodes always did. Wore your pants without your underwear.
Thank you for those hard-hitting answers.
Well, thank you. Yeah, well, thank you for the hard-hitting questions, you dumbass. Now, any wrestling question you got? Okay.
Fuck no. I've asked you all those.
Watch out. Keith Morrison's awake. Hang on a second. Keith, there you go, brother. Whoa, we were worried about you, man.
Tony, I'll see you in Chicago, buddy. Thank you.
All right, Justin, go fuck yourself.
Good seeing
man.
You again.
All right, take care.
You too.
Oh, right.
Keith, are you good, man?
You all right, brother?
The draft wasn't exciting.
Hey, listen, you don't have to shake your head, man. I'm with you, buddy. I know how it is. But now, listen. Here's a little the thing for you. A lot of times when I'm like this, and I'm pretending I'm asleep when Lois is in the room. Okay, so I got you, brother.
Hey, Tony, real quick, we're gonna go to Shuley because he's apparently the hottest guy in the room now.
Hey,
I wanted to say hey to you, Big Booty Judy.
Judy, I love that hair.
Thanks. Just got done.
She's like tremendous. A stranger in the night.
She is.
She's also brought moonshine. She heard Lois got and brought moonshine for her.
I know she likes this kind of brand.
All right. I want to tell you my Judy Lois moonshine story real fast, and then we'll let Shuley talk. Shuley, hang on just a sec. So we went to a Super Bowl party at Conrad's, which I'll never do again. And the worst thing you can do is go to a Super Bowl party with a bunch of drunk millennials. Worst thing you can do. Okay. So went to a Conrad Super Bowl party and Judy had the moonshine. Okay. And Lois took a drink of it and said, man, I love that. So as Lois will do, she bought 3 cases of it. Those 3 cases were gone in like 2 weeks. And then Lois had a doctor's appointment. Lois says, my liver counts up. I said, you fucking think? You've been drinking moonshine for 2 weeks. So thank you, Judy.
You're welcome.
We appreciate that.
She tried to kill her.
Yeah, tried to kill her. Didn't work. But she no longer drinks the moonshine. She's just straight bourbon now. And about a bottle of that a night. And it still kind of blows me away that a nice young lady like Judy is married to Cassio. That just blows me away every time I see it.
She never gets her cataracts fixed. Yeah.
Shuley, what you got, brother?
You're in the same kind of like, we're just.
Yeah, Pondwater's wife. We're just squatting in the floor.
We're sitting here. They don't give us chairs.
Keep your head above board there, girl. Okay. Jesus, criminy.
Judy looks like Leia in Return of the Jedi being chained to Jabba.
Tony's right, the little minion that Jabba had.
I'm done.
Shuley out.
Good night, everybody.
That was Sheila. He's gone. You can go back to sleep now, Keith.
Sorry to wake you, Keith. Nothing. Nothing advertises a show better than a guy. reminds me of playing in Vegas in the casinos. I walk out to 12 assholes with their arms folded, like I'm the blackjack dealer that took your $100. Go fuck yourself.
What's up, Julie? How you been, bro?
I'm good, man. I want to jump right into it. Sure. I have two shitting stories. If you'd love to hear them, and I'd love to tell them.
I'm always into shitting stories.
Well, so one goes back to when I was a summer camp counselor, and another counselor friend of mine, we're getting ready to go on a big hike with the whole camp. And he says to me, he's like this survivalist Israeli dude. So he like, he'll make weapons out of shit and, kill shit and cook it. So he says, listen, if you need to take a shit while you are in the woods, bring a rope with you, find a tree, tie the rope around the tree and around your waist. And you can lean back and everything falls out. So it's like a squatty potty, like a gravity squatty potty, right?
Wow, yeah.
So, of course, you know, I'm a stoner. I can't find rope. I had one of those belts. Remember the fabric that was like weaved in together, those really cheap belts?
Yeah, and I got one like of those
a,
too.
Yeah, like a swap meet belt. And I bring that. And sure enough, I have to take a shit. So I find a small enough tree where I can hold the belt like chopper handlebars on a motorcycle.
Right.
And I just lean back and unbelievable falls right out of me.
Wow.
And then the belt snaps and I fall right into it. I fall right back onto my shit. And that's a tough one to explain to the kids, but it's a lesson that they got to learn, you know? And then the second one is I got invited to the set of the Drew Carey show by, the great Sam Simon, director, one of the creators of The Simpsons. He was a fan of my stand-up, and so he invites me to the set. I'd never been to a set before. He's got the whole spread laid out for me. He's got the director's chair with the headphones. I'm watching him. It's amazing. And then I got to take a shit. Mm-hmm. So I go, I find a bathroom, and I get in, and I take a shit, and it's not good. Mm-hmm. And I'm done, and I wipe, and I go to flush the toilet, and the handle just goes clink, 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 clink.
Yeah. Right.
And if we have any plumbers out there, you'll know that means there's not a drop of water in the toilet. And then I started to look around and I realized, you know, the bathroom is on top of a pallet and the pallet has wheels and there's no ceiling. And that's when I realized I just shit in the prop toilet on the set of the Drew Carey show. And so, Jesus. You know, I did what anybody would do. I told Sam my mom had fallen down and I had to rush home and I got the fuck out of there. Oh, and I didn't hear from him for nine months.
Oh,
and
he calls
He calls me out of the blue and he invites me to movie night at his house, which his house is the only house on this street. It's massive, right? This guy's worth everything. And we come inside and here's the guest list. It's Kelsey Grammer, Drew Carey, Weird Al Yankovic, and Michael and Bruce Buffer, the Buffer brothers, and Shuley, and I'm waiting for them to hand me a tray, you know, and tell me to start serving drinks to people. And we have dinner and then we go into his private theater to watch Dolomite, and the screen, the lights go down and the movie starts and Sam leans over to me and he goes, my toilet's flush here, by the way. And I'm like, this is why he's a fucking comedic genius. The guy waited 9 months to tell me he knew I shit in a prop toilet.
That's the longest callback ever.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Speaking of shit in a toilet, explain to me Bugsy McGraw, because for the life of me, I can't figure this thing out.
Right. I only worked for Bugsy a couple of times, and he was pretty much as nutty as he was, his TV persona was. I mean, that was Bugsy, right? He just like.
It was the weirdest gimmick.
What was the weirdest gimmick?
He would go in and out of like being a clown and a possible, you know, molester. I don't know. There was a lot of weird vibes when he came out.
Yeah. Well, you know, the mental health people would get on us now for a gimmick like that, you know. And then I would have to say on TV, no, but you don't understand. He is really fucking crazy.
Yeah, right. That's your defense. That might not go well.
That's right.
Yeah, no, I'm telling you, this guy's nuttier than a shithouse rat. Listen
exactly.
to me.
Yeah.
By the way, the last month, I've been on this deep dive on the cock of world championship wrestling.
Oh.
And I'm up to 88 now.
Okay.
And there's nothing better. That format is just the greatest format ever.
Yeah, man.
Because you care about the squash matches because you want to see how bad these guys get their ass kicked.
Mm-hmm.
And it's simplified, man. It's like cooking, right? The more shit you put in the meal, the more fucked up it ends up getting, right?
Yeah, sure. It's just back then it was an infomercial to get you going to the arenas. That's all it was.
It was great. It was great. The stories were there too. It wasn't just, you know.
Yeah. It was good shit, man.
Yeah.
It laid the foundation for what we are today. It really did.
What you are today. A slave to Lois.
I know what I am. Thank you very much, Julie. I know what the fuck I am.
Yeah, you better. I know you're a big gamer. I didn't know you're such a big gamer.
Yeah. Yeah. I just got the Xbox and I've got a within the next 2 days, I got a PlayStation 5 coming in.
Nice. What are you playing these days?
I'm playing Gran Turismo Sport.
Okay.
I just started playing the Halo Infinite.
Okay.
On Xbox. And I'm starting to play this game called Death Stranding on PlayStation 4, which is a weird, it's got like, Norman Reedus is in it.
And, oh yeah, I remember that game.
Yeah, and Mads Mikkelsen or whatever his name is.
Yeah,
and the girl who was the James Bond, the latest James Bond, Leah, whatever her name is, I can't pronounce her last name. They are main characters in this thing, and you can never die. But if somehow you get reborn every time, but every time you get pulled to hell and reborn, the planet becomes more and more fucked up. It's crazy. It's crazy.
Yeah. No wonder Lois isn't banging you. I mean, listen to what you're talking about. This is nonsense. You know
I ain't got time for her because I've got to survive.
Right.
In Halo. Okay. I ain't got time for pussy. I got to survive. Okay. So there you go. So yeah. And I'm going to start my Twitch channel very soon.
Oh, then we got to link up, dude. We got to link
fucking
up.
Pop.
Yeah.
That would be great.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah. I may be the oldest gamer out there. I'm not sure. And this all came about when my sons and I played video games back in the 90s. I had four boys.
Yeah.
And I played video games with them. I played we had the regular Nintendo, we had Super Nintendo, 64, we had Sega Genesis. We had all those and we played them all the time and I just kind of got hooked in. It's like I said online recently. And now the good news is all those fuckers are out of the house and the controllers are mine and not theirs. Okay.
I can't wait. People go, are you, you know, for the future, do you want them to be doctors, lawyers? I want them to be out of here. I want my time.
Exactly.
That's what I want.
Exactly. I thought when they were younger, I thought, oh God, when they leave, I don't know what I'm going to do. But when they were that age, it was like foot in their ass and get out the door.
Okay. Here's what you're going to do. You're going to sit naked in your gaming chair and have your bat wings stick to it when you get up. That's what you're going to do.
Yeah, and me and my choice. Dog, me and Bug and fuck the world. That's me. Okay.
I love it. And listen, I don't know how my wife puts up with it. I got a whole setup down here and I'm playing. What got me back into gaming was the Battle Royale modes. Those games.
Okay.
That I like because it's you're playing against other players. The field of play keeps shrinking. And when you get to like the top five out of 100 players, your heart starts beating, your adrenaline starts, everything that would happen if you actually moved and were active starts happening while you're playing a video game. And that's new. That's never happened before.
I don't need that shit, man.
Oh, you would love it. We got to get you on some Call of Duty. So me and you can curse out some fucking 12-year-olds in Iowa that are kicking our ass every 2 seconds.
Yeah, it's because they fucking cheat.
They are. That's what I tell them all the time. They go, one kid goes, you sound old to be. I go, I'm old enough to get your IP address, you old fuck. What do you think of that? And then I'm going to fly down to your goddamn house. And then my wife's like, what are you doing?
That's how me and Sheely met.
That is how we met. I flew down to Huntsville to kick his ass, and then I just bought a place here.
Stuck.
Well, I love you. I won't monopolize everybody's time. I'm sorry for being, an annoying Jew. Thank you. You got to come on my podcast sometime.
I will. All right?
I was talking to Cassio, but I'll have you on too, Tony.
I was just saying, I love being on Jesus Killer's podcast.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Right.
We killed Jesus.
You started it, fucker. I wasn't going to go there. Okay. Don't test me. All right, bud.
All right. Is the Jew gone? Oh, thank
you. I don't know how, but Jacob Beardsley, you have to follow that there, Vince okay. Russo.
Bro, hear me out, bro. No. Okay. That actually worked out perfectly. I can't thank Tony and Shuli enough for setting that up for me. First of all, hi, Tony. Thank you, Tony. Thank hey, you, Jacob, Cassio, for doing this.
What's up, brother?
Long-time listener, first-time caller, I guess. Been listening to you since, obviously, I was young. I'm not young anymore, but grew up with the old WCW and NWA, and it was really cool to fall back into this via the nostalgia kick. My question actually piggybacks, yeah, off of what Shuli was saying there on the Twitch channel. I was going to ask you about the Twitch channel and where you were at on that and how things look on that. And just throw your way that if you ever needed any help, I actually run the Twitch channel for Mystery Science Theater 3000. Official channel.
Okay.
So if you ever needed anything, any kind of help dealing with setup, trolls, anything like that, I'd be happy to lend my services to you.
Yeah, that's great. I will, if you'll DM me your email or something, then we'll stay in contact. I'm in the process of ordering equipment for it. Evil Uno, who's a big gamer, is helping me set it up. But I may have some questions about that. I was talking to, I may have mentioned this before, and I know how we are on television. You know, I'm a friend of Britt Baker, and Britt Baker's boyfriend is Adam Cole, and Tony Schiavone hates Adam Cole. But in reality, Adam Cole is one of the nicest young men I've ever been around in my life. He really is. I really have a lot of time for that kid. Just a great guy. And he and I talk gaming a lot, and we both, I mentioned the fact that my daughter controls my Twitter, all my social media, because I kind of got off on it because of the fucking trolls. Didn't need them in my life. Fuck them. But then it felt very good blocking them. But then when I got back into it, I started tweeting and putting things on social media about video games. And I discovered that the people that are in the video games, and Adam Cole and I were talking about this just last night, just last night. And sometimes I got to think about what day it is. That the people that are in gaming are like the nicest people in the world.
Yeah.
On social media. Yeah. Genuinely good people, not trolls. And there's some trolls in every walk, I know, but and so that's kind of got me back on social media, interacting with those, with people like you, Jacob, and people who are into gaming, just good people. So I really enjoy it. I really do.
It was kind of fun to see, if you don't mind my seeing old grumpy Tony be happy over the last week or two on the social media. It was really cool to see. You had a little sparkle, a little gleam. So
it was nice. Yeah. I'm really, social media is like, an old cliche. It's like going down a rabbit hole. You can stick on that thing for hours, but I'll just jump on, say something and come back, you know, 6-8 hours later when I'm thinking about it and see what everybody said. So, but I'm having fun. So the last great ride of Tony Schiavone, the last great ride, going down with the controller in my hand.
There you go. Yeah. Take it for all it's worth. And everybody would have a kick out of, you know, laughing with you along the way.
Yeah. I've had a lot of people said, are you going to retire? Retire from watching wrestling? What the fuck? How do you retire from that? I said, no, I really want to, because it would make a great story if we're in the middle of a dynamite and all of a sudden, and I'm dead. Wouldn't that be a great story?
Yes,
it would be front page fucking news.
You'd be viral. Yeah. You'd be a big hit.
And what's wrong with Tony? He's dead. Okay. And, I just think that would be just a great way to go. So that's the way, you know.
Well, thank you for answering, Tony.
All right,
again,
Jake.
Thank you for everything. And thanks again, Cassio, for doing this.
Thanks for the offer, Jacob, too, of helping me. I appreciate you, Jacob.
My pleasure.
All right, we got a few more. Brad Stanton, where you at, brother?
Hey, what's going on, Cassio? Hey, Tony, how are you?
Hey, Brad, what's going on, brother?
Hi. Sorry, I'm in the dark, so I had to put up this nice graphic.
Kick out crew. Got you, brother.
Hey, Coach Rosie already asked my question, but I figured I'd ask you a parenting question instead. Oh. I have three kids in high school right now.
Yeah.
And I was just curious, did you teach your kids how to drive? And if you did, what medication did you take? Because mine's not working.
I kind of did. I mean, they had driver's ed in school. My daughter had a tough time getting her license. Tim Schiavone, who is the oldest one of my twins, had no fucking clue about how to drive. I remember him going for his driving test, and I was waiting on him, and he went to get his license doing the driving test, and he got out of the car. I could see the car got up, and he was cussing on the way up. I said, what happened? He said, I ran a goddamn stop sign. And, you know, being the compassionate father that I was at that time, I said, you fucking dumbass, get in the car. Brad, this is not an easy time. This is not an easy time. But here's the flip side of that. It, as a parent, high school is a much easier time than middle school was. Middle school was like the fucking worst. So take some solace in that. But yeah, I did work with them and learning how to drive.
I appreciate the advice. And hey, by the way, I really enjoyed the Lois Turned 70 show. I thought that was really nice.
Thanks.
And
thank you.
I told my wife about it, and I said, I hope I still like you when you're 70. Like, yeah, Tony does. So anyway, yeah. Thanks for everything. Thanks for coming out tonight.
All right, Brad. Good talking to you, brother. Appreciate you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brad. Let's hit Brian. Brian F., where you at, brother?
Right here, Cassio.
There you are.
You probably don't remember last time you were on the collectibles. We're big Colts guys, so maybe I'll be more memorable this way.
Yeah.
Wow. How about that?
Anyway, Tony, you're the whole reason I went down this whole ad-free shows.
Oh, wow.
Went from $9 all the way to my push, and maybe someday I'll be a top guy. But right now, I'm pushing my way through all Conrad stuff.
Well, good, Brian, good.
But yeah, I had a just positive things to say, sort of positive, negative. So the positive thing is, yeah, you and Conrad bring a lot of joy to a lot of people's lives. And
thanks.
You know, I'm moving around a lot. I was in Seoul, Korea. Now I'm in Sydney. So
wow,
don't have all my normal creature comforts of Indianapolis. So it's good to have the podcast.
Are you guys still quarantined in Australia?
Oh, no, it's back to normal pretty much. Oh, they're opening up international travel soon. So.
Oh, good. Okay.
We can travel around soon. But I just wanted to let you know that. And then on the negative side, I wanted to say you don't have to worry about that guy that was trolling you back in 2000. So I think he didn't stay too positive in his life after not making money on the website. So he is dead as a door now. So you don't have to worry about that.
He's dead?
He died a couple of years ago. Yeah, I saw it on Twitter.
Okay.
He had a Twitter feed and didn't take care of himself. And I think he got bitter because he didn't make any money writing a bunch of crap.
Hard feelings against him. I mean, I hope that Satan's got his dick up his ass too. So
that's right. That's right. You get what you put out in the world, Tony.
Exactly.
That's
exactly.
But you
with your eyes open.
Yeah, I'll let you go. I'll let everybody else get in, but it was great talking to you.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate you, buddy.
Okay. Bobby Duncan, I hope you're with us and not in hell getting fucked by Satan with his eyes open. Bobby, where are you at? Right?
Hey, how's it going, Cassio?
What's up, brother?
Hey, man. Good to see you in Dallas, and can't wait for Chicago. Hey, Tony, how you doing, sir?
Bobby, how are you, buddy?
I'm doing great. Doing great. Waiting on the daughter to get out of dance class.
There you go. That's what I'm talking about.
I got a question for you. A couple of them, actually. The transition between JCP and WCW when Ted bought it.
Yeah.
What was it like for, for the broadcasters and the wrestlers? Was it just another day at the office, or was it a big deal?
No, it was a big deal. And the reason it was a big deal is because Jim Herd sucked.
Yeah.
And we're now working for a guy who had, who was a fucking idiot. And so that was the big deal. And of course, I've mentioned this story before, and I'll make it very brief that, you know, I and it's in my book. We went in and talked to him and Jack Petrick, JR and I did. And JR basically, because JR was and still is, you know, one of the greatest salesmen ever, basically got Jim and I got us big money. And then I went home and thought, I don't really want to work for this guy. I really don't want to work for Turner Broadcasting. And so that's when I left the WWE. And I know it was said that I left because JR was getting a bigger push than me. And that's a lie. I left because I didn't want to work for Turner Broadcasting and Jim Herd. And I was going to get good money. But WWE offered me more money. And I just wanted to see how I would do up there. But we went from a very small-time mom-and-pop organization to working for a TV station, a TV network that really didn't give a shit about us. And I think everybody knew that from the people who worked in the front office, from the announcers to the wrestlers. They just tried to make the best out of it. But we knew that, again, the reason Vince McMahon has worked is Vince owns the wrestling company. USA Network or Fox does not own the WWE. And that's one of the reasons AEW is working, because Tony Khan owns the company, not Turner Broadcasting. If a TV station is going to own a wrestling company, and this is a cautionary tale, if Disney ever buys WWE like it's been rumored, it ain't going to be the same. It's not going to be the same, because it's just going to be, it's going to be another, if Disney or let's say Fox buys a WWE, it's just going to be another thing that they got aside from their streaming service, their Fox News, the football. When the wrestling company is the entire focus of what you're doing, that's when a wrestling company can prosper, I think.
Yeah, I totally agree. Yeah. They didn't want it. You know, the minute Ted bought the thing, they were like, we want it gone.
And the minute Ted was out, we were out the door too, basically.
Yeah, the minute they, like in the, I think it was the rise and fall of Ted Turner's WCW, the video that WWE did.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what everybody said in there. The minute that Ted Turner was neutralized, it was done.
Yep.
You know, there was no more.
No, you're right.
My other question, and I don't want to tie it all up. Since they were doing the transition between JCP and WCW, did they start working on the graphics transition before that, or because it just like dropped almost like it dropped immediately. So it felt to me like they had the WCW graphics ready to go.
Yeah. Well, graphics back then, Bobby, were not as big a deal as they are now to put together. You could probably do a new graphic on on one of those Chiron keyboards. So yeah, no, I don't. Listen, the company was so fucking stupid; it had no forethought.
Yeah, it just—I don't know.
It didn't know. Listen, here's the company that brought out Ric Flair against Ricky Steamboat, and had Ric Flair's name spelled RICK in the background. Okay,
yeah,
that's all you need to know. That's all you need to know about this company.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and then you got the deal. What was it? One of the, I don't know if it was David Crockett or Jim or who it was on that same DVD. And they said, you know, a month before that, before they bought it, they sold out an arena. And then, you know, the next time they couldn't even get, you know, butts in the seats, as it were.
Yeah. Yeah. Well,
y'all.
Yeah. It's kind of because too, that the focus was shifting away from the arenas to TV. And that's kind of all it is right now. I know the WWE runs house shows. AEW does not, but it's just, that was kind of the trend. To me, that era was kind of the transition from it becoming it. What became more important was not the gates, not drawing money at the gates. It was giving a good number for the television network. Hey, listen, it to me was kind of apparent. And this was really stupid. I don't know why. If you go back and watch the Nitros, it's almost like we were so determined for Nitro to do a good number, that that was bigger to us than having a good pay-per-view show.
Yeah.
And the pay-per-view is where you make your freaking money.
Yep.
But Nitro was more important. That's because we were owned by the network.
Right. Yeah. I mean, all they cared about was putting a product on the air, as Arn Anderson said.
That's it. Yep.
They didn't care if it was any good. They just said, put one on the air.
Yep. Exactly.
So, all right. Well, good talking to you, buddy. And we will see you in Chicago.
Thanks, man.
All right. Take care.
Take care.
Thanks, Cassio. Thank you, sir.
We got time for three more quick ones. Matthew, what you got, brother?
Matthew, how are you, Cassio?
Good, man. Appreciate you joining us.
Tony, how are you, sir? You are the man.
Thanks, Matthew. Good talking to you, brother.
It's good to talk to you. This is an honor, by the way. First time ever getting to talk. It's a complete honor. I watched you and everybody else growing up. So,
all right. Take care. Thank you.
I kind of like to get to know what your favorites are. So I guess my question would be, if you could have a Holy Grail scenario, if you could, any two wrestlers, put them in any building, any venue, and someone to call the match with you, what would be your ultimate scenario, and why? What is it about them people that why you picked them?
Well, I've answered this question before, it kind of hit me one day. I would like to see in their prime, Ricky Steamboat go up against Kenny Omega, and I would also like to call the match with JR. I think as legit sports, calling as a sports, as a real sport.
What would be your like mecca venue, your all time favorite venue?
Oh, it'd be Madison Square Garden.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah,
there
you go. No question.
Well, Mr. Fry, I thought maybe you had a like some in the old Atlanta days or a JCP type.
No, you know what? We never, if you go back and take a look, we never drew well in Atlanta.
Right.
We never did really well at the old Omni. We did well at some other place, but the Omni was like, eh. I know Arn has said on his podcast the Omni was the Madison Square Garden of the South, and no, it was not. The South didn't have a Madison Square Garden. Madison Square Garden was and still is the greatest wrestling venue ever.
Fair enough. Well, I don't want to take up too much time. I look forward to meeting you. I upgrade on the first here, so I'll be at Top Guy Weekend.
I'll be there and I'll be sober.
Keep up the awesome work. I have a story that I won't take up time to do, but I look forward to telling you guys. You guys did something amazing for me and my family that you guys ain't aware of, and I look forward to telling.
All right. Great, Matt. Thank you, Matthew.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate you, buddy.
Thank you.
Matthew, we all look forward to seeing you, brother. Appreciate you joining us. Appreciate you upgrading, man.
I look forward to it.
We got our last two here. Let's get Darren in. Darren, what's up, brother?
Hey, thanks for putting me on. I do want to piggyback on one thing that was just said when you're talking about the MSG of the South. I think the closest thing would be Greensboro Coliseum.
Yeah, I agree.
That's just my opinion. The question I want to ask, and I'll try to be brief, it came up when you were talking to Shuley about playing video games with your kids.
Right.
My brother and I had an old school NES. We used to play a game called Ring King.
Ring King, okay.
Yeah, it was a boxing game.
All right.
And my brother and I figured out a trick where we could knock the other boxer out of the ring. Like he would leap, he would go flip over backwards out of the ring. And we always used to play dad so that we could knock him out of the ring. So we come home from school one day and dad's home, which is rare. You know, he's rarely home when we get out of school. He says, "You guys want to play Ring King?" He destroys us. He's knocking us out of the ring. He literally took a day off work to practice his game so that he could beat the shit out of us and say, "See, thought you could get old dad." I was wondering if you had that competitive thing with your kids on the video games.
We competed. We did the Mike Tyson boxing game. Whatever that was.
Punch out.
Yeah, we competed on that a lot. We competed on Super Mario Brothers 2 or Mario Brothers 2. I was the first person in the family to beat that game. Okay. And I beat it at 3 o'clock in the morning during a school day. Okay. And I woke those little four fuckers up. And I said, hey, what, dad, what? I just beat Super Mario Brothers 2. So there you go. And went to the twins had one bedroom. Chris had one. Matt had one. Woke them all up. So yeah, it was always kind of the competition about who could get further on a Mario game or something like that.
Yeah. That it, Darren?
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, brother. God, you reminded me of my, I got my dad into it because I got him to play Contra with me because I needed another guy to shoot him up. And then we got Zelda.
Yeah.
And he did, I was fighting the last boss on Zelda. And he finally said, would you like me to show you how to do it? And I said, well, you don't know. And he said, I beat that son of a bitch last week. I've been waiting on you to get here.
I beat that son of a bitch last week.
Yeah, I was like, you son of a bitch. Oh, God. All right, we got time for one more. Sorensen with a great picture of me pinning him.
Oh, God.
Out in Dallas. What's up, brother?
Howdy. I had a feed the ego just a little bit for you, Cassio. You got here with Jeff Jarrett still, or are you good?
My jaw's a little hurt. You can't. I'm fat, so you can't tell it's still swollen. But
yeah, I heard he smacked you in the mouth. You should have just done a leg dive on that fucking motherfucker. I would have. I would have sold it, gone down to one knee, and then grabbed his leg and not
there's
let go.
There's Top Guy weekend. I got to get retaliation.
Well, I'll tell you what, you grab his leg, and I'll kick him in the nuts for you.
I don't know if you kissed the made up yet.
All right, what do you got for tea?
Mr. Tony Schiavone, I was watching an old Nitro, and it was towards actually the very end when there was a coffin on wheels.
Yeah.
But do you remember the Jeff Jarrett fat suit?
No.
incident.
I remember the Torrey Wilson fat suit. I remember that. You remember they did a video with Torrey Wilson about when she was younger, about, you know, she was a fat girl. And I was working with Madden, and Madden came up with the greatest line in the world. We did the video. We came out of the video. Torrey had put this fat suit on. And Madden said, how could anyone let themselves go like that? And of course, Madden was like, you know, that big around. And I thought it was so cool the way Madden said that. I don't remember the double J fat suit. No,
it was to build up towards Greed. Okay. It involved Dustin, Jeff.
Okay.
But why does Jeff Jarrett think he's a horseman?
Why does Jeff Jarrett think he's a horseman? Because he's delusional. Okay. Hey, he invested in a minor league baseball team. Why don't he just take his money and throw it down the fucking shitter? Okay.
Why be the Savannah Bananas?
Yeah. Why not the Savannah Bananas? He got it. What is he? A co-owner of a team in Springfield or wherever?
Darren, the guy from LA Law is doing a
thing there. It's my time.
Oh, yes, sir. Shit.
Okay. You got it. Okay. Go ahead, Sorens.
Go ahead. Tony, you're truly one of the best all-time commentators in sports and professional wrestling. I'm sorry I'm not as great as you, but I hope I'm half the man you are when I'm 60.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you, and I appreciate the nice comments. Even though you did heel on Coach Rosie, I appreciate you, brother.
He deserved it.
Okay.
Yeah, so Corbin Burnson, he's going to be there. Fucking Corbin Burnson. Who the hell wants a Corbin Burnson autograph? Yeah. Double J's bringing him out there. I mean, shit. Oh, they're going to get the blue hairs out from the nursing
home. He might have been in that 69 top, brother. We don't know. Corbin played baseball, didn't he?
Podcast needs a lot less coach. Just saying.
Oh, look, we can't have people turning on each other.
Yeah, okay,
let's
we're healing
stop
out.
Stop that.
All right. All right. I just got a note from Lois. Got to bring the bug down for his medicine, so I got to do that. And that's an experience in itself. We got to put that.
The fact that we made it through without him shitting himself or you shitting yourself is a big win.
Yeah, we need to put the bug medicine regimen on WHW Monday sometime because it's something else.
That'd be your first Twitch episode. You give him
giving him medicine.
Well, guys, gals, everybody, thank you for joining us. Thank you for asking questions, hanging out with us. Tony, we greatly appreciate your time, brother. We know how busy you are. Thank you, my man.
Thank you, everybody. We'll see everybody at Top Guy Weekend, too.
Thank you, Tony.
All right.
See you tomorrow night.
All right, Eddie.
See you, Candy Lickers.
All right.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah. Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.